scripture reading is John chapter 3, verses 1 to 21, and that'll be page 862 of your Pew Bibles. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not in him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Thank you for bearing with us with the technical difficulties this morning. How's everyone doing? Yeah. For those of you who may not know me, I'm Pastor Steve. You can just call me Steve. I'm one of the people who pastors this church. And I got to hang out with one of the crews at scuba camp this week, and I had a lot of fun. So this sermon that I'm going to preach isn't going to be a normal sermon. It's going to be for the kids, hopefully. So kids, I'm going to ask you lots of questions in it, and I want you just to shout out your answers. You can just tell me what you think. You can speak up. You have that freedom in this message, and I'll try to keep it short, too. So here's my first question for you. Who likes going to the pool? Woo, I do, too. All right, a couple of weeks ago, I went swimming with my kids and their cousins at a pool. We had lots of fun together in the pool, playing and swimming and splashing. And then I showed these kids a cool trick that I learned when I was a kid about pool noodles at the pool. Do you want to know what that trick is? Okay, you know how pool noodles are hollow, right? They're kind of like a hose. Yeah, you can turn them into a hose. You know at the pool, every pool that's like an underground pool has a jet that shoots water into the pool to help filter the pool. It's not above the water, it's under the water. Sometimes you feel it against you when you go under the water. If you stick one end of the pool noodle against that and hold it in place, you might need two people to do this. And then you can use the other end as a hose and spray people all the way across the pool. And it's really fun. And sorry, parents. But I taught my nephew that, and he had a lot of fun doing it. The problem was, whenever he did it, he kind of lost control and sprayed all this water out of the pool, which he wasn't allowed to do. And he kept getting in trouble for doing that. And finally, his mom said, no more playing with the pool noodle that way. You can't do that. You're getting everything wet. And you know what he said? Oh, please, Mom, just give me one more chance. Please, please give me another chance. I won't do it again. And she said, okay, I'll give you one more chance. Don't get water out of the pool again. Do you think he did it? He got water out of the pool again pretty quickly after that, and that was the end of the pool noodle game. Have you ever, guys, done something wrong and needed a second chance? You can answer, guys. Who here's done something wrong and needed a second chance? I know I have.
Do you know that we guys, we do something wrong every day? Sometimes we make mistakes, like my nephew with the noodle. He didn't do it on purpose. He wasn't trying to do something wrong. He just made a mistake. But sometimes we do bad things on purpose. You don't have to answer this question, but think about it. Have you ever done something on purpose like being mean, disobeying your parents, telling a lie, or complaining? Do you know what the Bible calls those bad things we do? I heard it, sin, right? Calls it sin. And the Bible says that every single one of us has sinned. We all do bad things. We sin, all of us, every day. The Bible tells us, you know what? That we should be punished by God because of our sins. There should be consequences. But maybe God will give us another chance. What do you think? Do you think God gives us another chance? Yeah? Well, let me tell you something. The Bible tells us that God does something even better than giving us another chance. Because we sin so much that we need more than another chance. We need a new life. We need a new life. If you're taking notes today, which means you probably don't have kids with you, hopefully you saw that. That's the main idea today, that we sin so much because of our sin. We don't just need a second chance. We need another life. And today I want to tell you the story of Jesus meeting with a man named Nicodemus. Jesus and Nicodemus had a conversation that was kind of strange, because Jesus knew Nicodemus needed another life. And Nicodemus didn't get it. He didn't understand. So part of the story, kids, is going to be familiar to you because Autumn talked about it on Friday, because part of the story is our Bible verse, which we just learned about a little while ago, from Friday. Do you guys remember what our memory verse of the last day of camp was? John 3:16, for, just yell it out, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So that's in this story that we're going to talk about today. So I want you to listen for it, and I also want you to listen for the Bible points. All five of our Bible points are going to be in this sermon. And when you hear them, what do you say? Thanks, God. And if you're taking notes, each one of those Bible points is the next section of the note, so you can fill them out now if you know them. So listen as we talk about how God gives us new life. Now, our story starts out with Nicodemus coming to visit Jesus in the middle of the night. Nicodemus was an important man. He's a ruler of God's people in Israel. He teaches them about the Bible and who God is, and people think he's really smart. But he finds Jesus really confusing. He wants to know more about him, so he goes to meet him. And he goes at night because he's afraid of what people are going to think about him. Some of his friends think that Jesus is bad and that they shouldn't go to talk to him. But Nicodemus says, I know he's good, but I'm afraid of what people will think. So he goes at nighttime to learn more about Jesus. And while he's talking to Jesus, Jesus says something to him he doesn't understand. In John chapter 3, verse 3, he says this. Listen to what he says. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Now, what does that mean? No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Well, first of all, what's the kingdom of God? You know, God's people know that God is king of everything, that he made everything and he's in charge of everything. But lots of people don't know that, right? They don't think God's in charge and they don't want him to be king. And right now, God lets people get away with that. He says, okay, if you're not going to follow me, that's up to you. But one day, he's going to show everybody that he's the king. And the people who don't love him and follow him as their king, they're going to be punished. But all the people who do love him will get to be part of the kingdom. And Nicodemus was pretty sure that he was already part of God's kingdom. He's like, I'm going to be part of God's kingdom. So here's a question. Do you guys think that you're part of God's kingdom? Are you in it? What do you guys think, kids? Do you think you're part of God's kingdom? Yes? Okay. But Jesus says, actually, no one can be part of God's kingdom because of our sin. Nobody can. All of us are enemies of God because of the bad things we do. So what do we need because of our sin? We need a what? A second? No, not a second chance. That was a trick question. We need a new life, right? And so that's what Jesus is saying. We need to be born again. We need a new life. So I want you to think about what Nicodemus was thinking. Nicodemus thought it was a really strange thing to say. Hey, here's another question. Who here has been born? Yeah, that should be everybody, right? You're not going to raise your hands on that one. Do you think that you could go back inside your mommy's tummy and be born again? No, right? You can't. You can't do that. And that's what Nicodemus is thinking. That's a weird thing to say, Jesus. That's very strange. But Jesus didn't mean go back inside your mommy's tummy and be born again. He meant something different. He says, I mean that you need to be made new by God. You need to be made into a new person. You need to be born again. So think about this. If God said, okay, we're going to forget about all the bad things you did. We're not going to pay attention to them anymore. Starting right now, you get a second chance. Would that be enough? Would you be able to say, okay, I have my second chance. Now I'm going to obey God all the time? Would you be able to always be good forever after that? No, you wouldn't. Because you're still the same person, and you would just sin again and again and again. So Jesus says, you can't just be given a second chance. The only way to be part of God's kingdom is to become a new person. You need God to give you a new life so that you can be different and be changed. So, kids, I want you to think about this. How do we get that new life? What was our memory verse? You say it with me again. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So that verse tells us about how we can have this new life from God. Does that verse tell us that we can have new life from God by working really hard to be good, by memorizing all the Bible verses and going to church? How do we get the new life from God? What did God do? For God, so he loved us, right? We get new life because of something God did. He loved us so much that he gave his Son for us. Now, I know this part's confusing, but the Bible tells us that there is only one God, right? There's only one God. He is the only real God. Remember that God is a friend who is real. Thanks, God. There you go. That's the first one. And the Bible says that one real God is three persons. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's three persons in one God. That's really confusing. I understand that. But that's what the Bible says. Our one real God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so, God is a friend who's real, thanks God, but God is also a friend who loves us. Thanks God, that's the second point, right? Here's my question. Did you ever love somebody so much that you gave something away to them that you actually kind of wanted for yourself? Kids, have you ever given away like your last cookie to your friend or your brother or sister because you love them? That'd be hard to do, right? But what does this verse say that God gave us because he loves us? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. He gave us his Son, right? That's way bigger than a last cookie. That's how much God loved us. What's God's Son's name? Jesus, right? God gave us his Son, Jesus. What did Jesus come to do, guys? Hannah, are you here? Hannah, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do for us? He died on the cross. That's right. I knew someone knew that. He died to take the punishment that we deserve for our sins. We deserve to be punished, but Jesus took that punishment for us. And because he died, we don't have to be punished. We can be forgiven. You know, when I was a kid, I did something really bad by accident once. I knocked over our family's TV and broke it. It wasn't a sin. It was an accident. But the TV was broken, and it was my fault. Now, do you think my parents made me pay to buy a new TV for the family? They say, Steve, you broke this, you got to pay for it. Did they do that? No, they didn't, thankfully. They would have had to give me allowance for that. But they said, no, Steve, even though you broke it, we're going to pay for this. We're going to pay to get a new TV. And that's what Jesus does for us. He pays for us, except the price that he paid wasn't money. It was the punishment that we deserved. That Jesus took the punishment that we should have gotten on the cross so we could be forgiven. Isn't that an amazing thing for him to do for us? That's how much he loved us. But here's something that you need to understand. This forgiveness doesn't just automatically go to everyone. It's only for people who believe in Jesus. Guys, does everyone you know believe in Jesus? Does everyone in the world believe in Jesus? No, they don't. Lots of people don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in God's Son who became a human and died on the cross for our sins. So they can't take the gift of forgiveness, and that's so sad. They should believe in Jesus because not only is God a friend who's real, thanks God, and not only is God a friend who loves us, thanks God, but God is a friend that we can trust, thanks God. That's our third point. We should believe in him because he's good and kind and we can trust him. And if we do, we get the gift that he wants to give us, the gift of forgiveness, so that we don't perish, we don't get punished by God. We'll have eternal life. Now here's another question. What does eternal mean? Does anyone know what eternal means? Forever, right? It means forever. How can Jesus give us forever life? I skipped part of the story. Jesus didn't just die on the cross. What else did he do? What comes next? He rose again, right? He came back to life. Jesus fought death and won. He beat it. And so now he will never die again. That was another one of our Bible verses this week. I don't remember if you remember this one from Thursday. John chapter 11, verse 25 says, I am the resurrection and the life. That's something Jesus said. I am the resurrection, that means coming back to life, and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. And so everyone who believes in him will get to be with him forever because God is a friend forever. Thanks, God. That's our fourth point, right? God is a friend forever. Sometimes, here's something that's interesting, though. Sometimes people think that eternal life just means that we get to go to be in heaven with Jesus when we die. And it does mean that, but it means more than that. The eternal life doesn't start later in heaven. It starts right away when you believe in Jesus. When you believe in Jesus, you're born again and you're made into a new person and you have new life. And Jesus gives you, kids, he gives you eternal, forever life. And God starts to change you so that you can say no to your sin and become more like Jesus. We're all still going to sin, but he helps us to change. Guys, all of us sin. All of us deserve God's punishment. There's nothing we can do on our own about that. We aren't God's friends because we choose to not be God's friends. But this verse, John 3:16, tells us that God loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us and rise again to take the punishment for our sin, to beat death for us so that we can be forgiven and have new life. And then that gift is available to everyone who believes. It says that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Anyone who believes in Jesus will live even after dying and be made new right now. Because the last point is that God is a friend for everyone. Thanks, God. He loves everyone. Listen, God loves everyone. If you're here and if you're not here, and anyone who hears this or isn't hearing this, God loves you. But only people who believe in Jesus can really be his friends and be forgiven for their sins. He's a friend for everyone, but you're not his friend unless you love him and believe in him and trust that Jesus died and rose again. So I want to ask not just the kids today, but everyone who maybe hasn't done it before, will you believe in Jesus and get the eternal life that he wants to give you? You can just say to God, right here, right now in your heart, God, I know I'm a sinner. I deserve your punishment. I can't do what's right. Even if you gave me a second chance, I still couldn't do what's right. I need to be forgiven and to have a new life, a forever life with you. So I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again so I could be forgiven and made new. Thank you. I love you. If you say something like that to God, understand that idea, then you're his and you're forgiven. I hope that some of you have started to believe in Jesus. We want that for all of you. And I know that many people here have, but some of you are visitors and haven't thought that through yet. Some of you have been coming for years, maybe even to this church, and still haven't really understood it. But God is such a good friend. Jesus is such a good friend, and he loves you so much. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us so much that you gave your Son to us to die in our place, to take the punishment that we deserve, to rise again and defeat death so that we can be forgiven and made new. God, I pray that all of us would understand again that we are sinners who can't do anything to make that right. We deserve your punishment, and the only way to be forgiven for that is because of what Jesus did. Help us to believe that it's true and to know it and to be your friend and to make you our king, to love you forever. Please help us to do that. Help us with our faith that we sometimes struggle with. Help us with our lives when we don't want to obey you. Please work in us by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.